The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Sure, have to work like a slave all day under Obama. Welcome to the Savage Nation. When I woke up this morning and I saw that three Jewish children have been gunned down outside of Paris by an unknown gunman, and I saw the cover-up begin right away, I knew that I had to do today's show. Welcome to the program. To me, this is a slow-motion Holocaust going on around the world. And again, the Jewish community itself is doing nothing, and the world at large is doing nothing. It is the 1930s all over again, only most of you don't know it, because you'd rather watch a goon rub his crotch and sing a rap song. You'd rather watch an imposter in the White House basically singing a rap song on a daily basis. I cannot believe what this man gets away with. Gasoline prices through the roof, and he tells you that green energy is the way to go. One green scam after another to pay off his donors. But I want to talk about is the slow-motion Holocaust. Here you have Bloomberg, allegedly a Jewish mayor in New York City, who says nothing to worry about, it can't happen here. Well, are you so sure of that? I want to ask you a couple of questions on the Savage Nation. Why is the media calling the shooting of Jewish children to death in France today random? Do you believe the shooting was random, or were they targeted because they were Jews? Do you fear similar shootings are about to occur in the United States of America? What are you doing to defend yourself against Hezbollah and other mass terrorist acts in the United States of America? Is Big Sis Napolitano up to the job of defending the United States of America from Hezbollah and other terrorist organizations? We do know that if the terrorists come as three-year-old white boys in wheelchairs, the TSA will be ready. We do know that if they're three-year-old white boys in wheelchairs, Big Sis Napolitano has all the guns she needs to stop them. But what about a Muslim in a headscarf with C4 explosive passing through an airport? No doubt they'd be afraid to profile him and let him right onto an airplane. How far will the loss of freedom in America go? And I'm asking these questions for a reason, because I am trying to awaken you from your sleep. I called a Jewish school when I read this morning, right here in San Francisco. And you know what I got? I got like a blasé answer. I couldn't believe what I was listening to. Like nothing changed in the world. And I started to yell at him on the phone. I said, hire a security guard. I said, what the heck is wrong with you? What world are you living in? And he starts quoting to me from ancient books. I said, put the books down, because millions like you went into the gas chambers with the holy books in their hands. I said, pick up a gun. When the hell are you going to learn what world you're living in? Stop with the Zohar. But I was talking to deaf ears, as I fear I'm talking to deaf ears here in America on virtually every topic. No matter how I try to tell you that we have a tyrant in the White House and that we have the most corrupt administration in American history, I feel that all you really care about is whatever you care about. It isn't about politics. I don't know who to blame for that, nor does it matter. All I can say to you is it can happen here. It is happening here. 1-800-449-8255. If you care to join the conversation, that's the phone number to call. Do you think that this shooting of Jewish children is something only the French should be concerned about? I mean, the United States government has told us that they cannot stop Hezbollah terrorists from crossing the border since they made the border an open crossing. So, what is Big Sis Napolitano going to do about Hezbollah here in the United States of America? Well, we know what she's doing. We have her a video of her TSA thugs patting down a three-year-old child in a wheelchair who is crying for his daddy, and the TSA Nazi thug tells the father not to approach the child as they're dusting the child's hands for explosives. If you haven't seen it yet, go to michaelsavage.com and look at the video clip of the poor child in a wheelchair being patted down at the airport by TSA Nazis. This is who Big Sis is targeting. Not Muslims in full Muslim garb, but handicapped children in wheelchairs, elderly women, nuns. That's who your government is targeting. It made me sick to watch the news today. You should be sick, too. Now, I want to raise another issue that's extremely important to me, because I believe that there's a huge cover-up about the shootings in France. The report that came out was immediately described as random. Then it was described as a serial murderer. Then they said the French said that the same gun had been used to shoot three French soldiers of ethnic backgrounds, two African and one Middle Eastern in the French military. They were paratroopers a while ago. They said the same gun. The problem is, how do they know it was the same gun? Would you believe a word that the French tell you, first of all? You believe one word from the French government? Why are we reading that the same gun and motorbike were used in Jewish and soldier attacks? How do they know that? Did they recover the gun? How do they know? They don't know. They made it up. And then they reported on the same gun in two different calibers. They created a caliber that doesn't even exist. And then they said the second shooting of the Jewish kids was with a 9mm. But the first one was with an 11.45mm, which so far as I know does not exist. It's a lie. It's a cover-up. It's a lie. It's a cover-up. The gunman initially used a 9mm weapon, but it jammed. So he switched to a 45 caliber weapon as he went into the Toulouse school, police said. Really? How do they know that? Did they recover the guns? I don't think so. And yet they tell us that it's the same gun that was used to shoot the French troops. Do you believe a word of any of this? And why was the school unarmed? What have Jews learned from history? The answer is nothing. The Jewish people of America and the world have learned absolutely nothing from the Holocaust. Instead of
10 years.
Why do you think that the Chinese monks learned martial arts? I've tried to tell this to my Jewish listeners. I say jokingly that of my 8 to 10 million listeners, I have 8 to 10 women listeners. Sometimes I think I have 8 to 10 Jewish listeners. First of all, they don't buy my books. Second of all, I'm pretty sure they don't call. And third of all, I don't understand how they don't understand what world they're living in. Why do I say that? Now, let me explain why I'm saying that. You want me to explain why I'm saying that, or do I have to explain it at all to you? I'll explain it to you if you need me to, but I don't think you should need me to. How do they know it was the same handgun that was used in the shooting of these kids as in the shooting of the French paratroopers in cold blood? Did they recover the gun? There's no evidence that they recovered the gun. They say the shooter got away on a motorbike. If he got away, he took his gun with him, didn't he? You're not telling me he threw the gun down. Oh, he threw the gun down after he shot the paratroopers, I see. And it was the same gun used today against the Jewish kids? So you mean he threw the gun down, the cops picked it up after he shot the paratroopers weeks ago, and then what, the cops gave it back to the killer to use it again? Maybe the French police did it, if they know it's the same gun. Is that possible? So if you think I'm buying this garbage that the French government is putting out, you're mistaken. And if I have to be the only voice in the American media who understands it's all a cover-up and a lie, then I shall be the only voice in the American media who knows it's a lie from the top to the bottom. I'm going to play for you in a moment a montage of the vermin in the media, including Fox News, saying, random, 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 random. Listen to clip one.
The shootings happened just as parents were dropping their children off at the Jewish secondary school.
Basically, random attacks carried out by a gunman on a motorcycle who drives up and shoots into a crowd of people.
There have been other shootings in that town, Nick, of a mysterious nature, let us say.
It's too early to tell whether definitively all these shootings are linked.
Killer arrives on a motorbike and then starts shooting randomly. And just started shooting randomly.
Random attacks.
Mysterious nature.
Shooting randomly.
July 4th, 2002, Los Angeles airport shooting. Hesham Mohammed Hadayat, a 41-year-old Egyptian Muslim, shoots and kills two Israelis and wounds four others at the El Al ticket counter. FBI calls this terrorism. That's because Obama was not president. October 2002, Beltway sniper attacks. During 3 weeks, John Allen Mohammed and Lee Boyd Malvo killed 10 people. Random. except, of course, they were part of the Islamic Jihad. 06, March 5, Mohammad Reza Tahiri Azar injures six people when he drives an SUV into a group of pedestrians at UNC Chapel Hill to, quote, avenge the deaths of murders of Muslims around the world. Was it random? 06, July 28, Seattle Jewish Federation shooting. Naveed Afzal Haq, an American citizen of Pakistani descent, need I say a Muslim, breaks into a Jewish community center, shoots and kills one woman, and shoots five other women at the Jewish Federation building in Seattle. During the shooting, Haq told a 9/11 dispatcher that he was angry with American foreign policy in the Middle East. Was that random? October 26, 2007, a pair of improvised explosive devices are thrown at the Mexican consulate in New York City. Was that random? June 1, 2009, Arkansas recruiting office shooting. Abdullah Khan Mushahid Muhammad shoots and kills one military recruiter and seriously wounds another at Little Rock, Arkansas, Army Naval Career Center, in an act of Islamic terrorism. Muhammad, a convert to Islam, had visited Yemen for 16 months. Was that random? November 5, 2009, Fort Hood shooting by Muslim Major Nidal Malik Hisan, a U.S. Army psychiatrist, opens fire and kills 13 people, shoots 33 others at the Fort Hood Army base. In an act of Islamic terrorism, he is yet to be brought to trial. Were these random, or is it too soon to tell? I spit on the vermin in the media. I spit on you all. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So you look at the pictures of the little kids who were gunned down by this terrorist. They have names, little children, 3 years old, 6 years old, a beautiful little girl. The soldiers were killed last week, French paratroopers, by a, they say, in a similar way. And they don't know what it is. They say it's random, just random. Now, the first thing that doesn't strike me as true here is the weapons used. They were reporting a weapon that doesn't exist at first. Then they said a 9mm weapon. Now they say the gunman used a 9mm, but a JAMC switched to a 45. Then they have the nerve to publish a headline in the Telegraph out of London, to loose shooting, same gun and motorbike used in Jewish and soldier attacks. Now, how would they know it's the same gun? How do they know? Did he throw the gun down at the first shooting after he shot the paratroopers a week ago? Oh, I see. And so the French police picked up that gun and what, they gave it back to him? Or was it one of the police in France who did it while he was off duty? See, that's the first line of reasoning I would use if I were an independent investigator. But since I'm only a talk show host, and would they like to define me as what I'm not, apparently my intelligence has no bearing on this issue. So let's leave it to the geniuses in our intelligence communities to figure this one out. The same geniuses who frisk three-year-old boys in wheelchairs at America's airports and make them cry and permit Muslims in full garb to board planes for fear that they'll be accused of racial profiling. Let's leave it to the government because they have such geniuses working for them. Let's leave everything to governments here and there. We'll all be safe. They can protect us. Look how good they're doing. Florida, Mario, you're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, first-time caller, long-time listener. How you doing? Listen, I think you're a little off base with the French cops there. Reference firearms identification. You know, we can check the lands and grooves, the impressions.
Yes, of course you can test the ballistics of the slug. So let me ask you, you mean within 10 seconds of them finding the dead children, they pulled a bullet out of them?
You know, that's a good point, Michael.
Sure, it's a good point. You're making one point, but it has no bearing on the reality, Mario. The kids were killed. Believe for a minute that they removed the bullet and cleaned it up and did ballistics within 10 seconds, do you?
I wouldn't say 10 seconds, but if they had the rounds, the bullets from the previous shooting of the military, and they had a ballistics expert there, and they...
I understand, but how would they get them out of these dead children so quickly?
I don't have all the answers there, Michael. But
Well, that's why I'm a talk show host, not a detective. But Mario, you're a retired policeman or current?
Current.
I'm sorry, Mario. Whatever it is, have you been at a crime scene after a shooting?
Yes.
Okay. How soon do they pull a bullet out of a victim?
Well, sometimes they go through the victim as well. So.
All right, that's fair enough. Sometimes they go through the victim as well, but let's assume. That they were in the victim. How soon after did they have the permission to remove the bullet?
you'd have to go with the medical examiner, the inquiry.
All right, so we have to assume that the bullets in the victims are still in the victims. So the only chance that they could identify it as the same slug would be if a bullet was shot and randomly went into a wall, right?
Exactly. Unfortunately.
All right, so between you and I, none of the newspapers, newspaper reports, because we have such lowlifes in the media, have even done the first base of Journalism 101. They haven't said that the ballistics test was based upon a bullet that lodged in a wall. They're taking it directly from the French government. They're lying, and so is the French government. They're covering their butts. But I thank you for calling, for making the conversation even more intelligent. Albany, New York. Marie, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hello. You know, it's just unbelievable. These people just can't see anything. It's like the whole society has blinders on. I don't believe any of this garbage coming out of the French government or our government, or these idiots in the media who, you know, think that we are supposed to just go in lockstep. You know,
All right, but we want to talk only about this case, Marie. Rich, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I'm one of your 10 Jewish listeners across the country.
Good.
And I just want to repeat something I said right after 9/11. If 3,000 dead wasn't enough, it's going to be 3 million.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Well, you don't have to worry, though, because the TSA has their eye out for every three-year-old boy in a wheelchair who's white. You understand that. So we've got that base covered. In other words, if Hezbollah comes here with three-year-olds in wheelchairs with explosives, they'll be stopped at the airport. You know that, right?
Hezbollah's already here. 6 blocks where I grew up in Chicago, they were denying a permit for a mosque. 1 mile from where I grew up in Chicago, one of the masterminds of that Mumbai bombing, 1 mile from where I grew up in Chicago, which was a Jewish neighborhood.
Yep. Oh, don't tell me about that. Please don't tell me about that. You understand all Muslims are peaceful. Please don't say anything else.
Savage.
So already Fox News and the others are doing the cover-up. They say that 4 people were killed at a Jewish school. Apparently, when a child of 3 is Jewish, they become a people or a person. Because if you say children, it's liable to elicit too much sympathy for the 18% Muslim ownership of Fox News. So their report is a French police official says the gun used to kill 4 people, not murder 4 children, at a Jewish school Monday was the same gun used in attacks on 3 French paratroopers last week. So now we go down into the story, and it says an 11.43 caliber handgun was used in Monday's attack, and it's the same exact gun that was used to kill a paratrooper 8 days ago in Toulouse. Well, first of all, there is no 11.43 caliber handgun. It's an 11.43 millimeter handgun that equals a 45 caliber handgun. That's number one. But this shows you what passes for reportage today. Remember I told you the reason America has melted down is because 3 men control the journalism schools in the United States of America, and they interchange directorships, moving around like on a chessboard, making certain that people with only a minimal IQ of a liberal persuasion are allowed into the journalism schools so they can come out and use them like the stooges that they are. There is no reportage. There's no brains left in the media. I've never seen anything like this. But let's put that aside, because the media didn't shoot the children. Someone else shot the children. So the immediate cover-up tries to have you believe it was a right-winger. Now they're trying to tell you it was a right-winger because today it was Jewish children and a Jewish father. And the paratroopers, although they were in French uniform, 2 are of African descent and 1 was of Middle Eastern descent in the French military. So therefore we have to conclude that it wasn't a Muslim, but it was a right-winger, maybe a member of Le Pen party. That's what they want you to suggest. The immediate suggestion is that it was somebody from the right wing who did it, not a Muslim. Muslim is never, ever considered the terrorist in the West or in France. In other words, unless they scream Allah Akbar, and then, of course, they cover it up as fast as they can. Take a look at Major Nidal Hassan, Muslim major, executes 13 fellow soldiers, wounds 33 others, Obama will not bring him to trial. Why won't Obama bring him to trial? Why won't Fox News cover the Fort Hood massacre suspect? Why won't ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN cover the Fort Hood massacre suspect? Why do they talk about the Afghan massacre by the American who flipped out, but not talk about the Fort Hood massacre where more people died and more people were injured? Why do they talk about one and not the other? Because it's all part and parcel of the overall brainwashing of the United States of America and the West to subdue you so that you think that Jersey Shore, mob wives, and spring break are all you should be focused on. Not look at the White House, not look at what's going on in the White House, not look at the low lives who were invited to the White House, not look at what they say after they come out of the White House. No, don't look at any of that. Pay no attention to the green slime that is oozing out of the White House. The green slime in the form of slush funds called alternate energy grants, it's nothing but payback from top to bottom. The gas prices are going through the roof in America. Obama blocks the Keystone XL pipeline that would bring oil from Canada to a refinery in Louisiana. And he has the nerve to tell you that solar panels are the answer? Well, nobody believes it anymore, except those who work for him and those who are brain dead, as far as I'm concerned. But let's go back to this story here. The slow motion Holocaust that is occurring around the world. Wisconsin, Jerry, you're on the Savage Nation. What do you make of this?
You cannot do ballistics that fast. The technology's not there.
Okay. Well, are you in the police work?
No, I'm not. I'm an avid hunter, so I know a little bit about it.
All right, good. Fine. So let's talk to you as an avid hunter. Let us assume that the French police are not lying about this. They would have to have retrieved the bullet from the scene of the school shooting this morning and done ballistics. Couldn't they have done it within hours?
I don't believe so, because you'd have to have a few weapons to match it against, unless you knew what the weapon was.
Well, they claim it's the same ballistics that was used to kill the French paratroopers.
So if you know that, they would have to have that with the French paratroopers.
Wait, let me back up. Let's say they pulled a bullet out of the French paratroopers. So that's the test bullet, right?
Yes.
So then they pull a bullet out of a wall in the Jewish school. Couldn't they do it without having the gun?
Well, you got to match the riflings, the grooves on the bullets. And in order to do that, you need the weapon, because every weapon...
Oh, okay, so you need the weapon to match it. You can't do it bullet to bullet, then.
Yes. Everyone has a unique signature.
But wait a minute. You mean the bullets per se would not indicate that they're identical from the same gun? You need an actual gun to test them against?
Yes, that is my understanding, that the rifling in the weapon is what gives the fingerprint on the bullets.
Well, but the rifling in the weapon gives the fingerprint to the lead slug, but the lead slug would then have the rifling on it, correct?
Yeah, the grooves, yeah.
All right, so then you could do it without the weapon, if you retrieve the bullets from the walls of the Jewish school. But I don't know how they would have done that within a few hours. I don't think they would have done it immediately. Do you? Usually a crime scene is taped off. They're not pulling bullets out within 10 seconds and rushing to a ballistics laboratory and saying, presto, it's the same one that was used on the paratroopers, unless they want to prove that.
Right. That's what they're trying to do.
Saying to you is, and everyone else, it doesn't add up to me in plain English. The French are lying. The French are lying about this. That's what I think, Jerry.
They are lying. They knew this weapon, and they're pawning it off, is what I'm saying.
Well, it doesn't add up to me for one reason. Let us even agree that it's possible that they could have had the ballistics done and the bullets that shot the French paratroopers last week. How would they do this so quickly? Crime scenes do not permit them to remove evidence within the first few minutes, do they? Absolutely not. They would not be able to go into a crime scene and pull a bullet out of a wall within an hour and send it to a laboratory and get a result fast enough for the newspapers to say, aha, same weapon. I don't believe that's possible, because then they would have contaminated the crime scene.
Maybe they got the technology to be able to get DNA as fast from Bin Laden after they killed him and proved that it was him.
Well, that I don't even want to talk about. I mean, that's a whole different story. But I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Let's go to some callers now on the East Coast. Let's go to Carl in New York on WOR. Carl, what do you make of the story today?
I think you're 100% right. There's definitely some kind of cover-up here. They're not telling us the whole story. quite possibly they want us to believe they got all the ballistics, so they came out with the story that it was the same weapon. It's all a bunch of crock, Mike. The American people has become sheeple. The American Jew is not a warrior like the Israeli Jew. They're not warriors anymore. They're too complacent, like most Americans.
I agree with every word you just said, Carl. I'm sending you trickle-down tyranny to make sure you're not one of the sheeple. At least one other man in America will not be a sheeple. At least one other man will say that the king has no clothes. At least one other man will have the guts to read a book that says King Obama has no clothes. Portland, Oregon. Wes, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, you touched on something that really had me wondering when I watched this in the wee hours on BBC. This business of the Jewish schools, not only in France, but all over the country, including here, why don't they have security, for God's sake?
I don't know why. That's the first question I asked. This gunman allegedly ran up and started shooting into the crowd of children and then ran into the school and started shooting at them. Nobody was armed. There was no guard there. Nobody in the school had a gun. What sense does this make?
It bothers me because though I'm not Jewish, I'm a history buff, and I have some idea of what went on in Germany in the early 30s. And, you know, before they passed the laws disallowing Jews from going to the schools, I mean, can't the Jewish leadership see what the hell's going on?
Let me explain something, Wes. There is no Jewish leadership. Let me tell you a little secret. All the fundraisers, they go to dinners, they travel to Israel, they meet the prime minister. Tell me who the leader is. Tell me, name one Jewish person who you think is a leader. Can you name one?
No.
Because there is none. There are no Jewish leaders. There is no prominent rabbi. There's no prominent Jewish leadership in America. So therefore, it's up to the individual schools to get the protection that they need. And instead of teaching their children how to eat sugar-coated foods, they ought to be teaching their children martial arts. It's a story I've been trying to tell for 10 years on the radio. And I started to tell it at the beginning of the show, and I got distracted, but I'll tell it to you now. Why do you think the Chinese excel at martial arts? Why do you think Buddhist monks were amongst the first to learn kung fu and other styles of martial arts? Because they were being attacked. They were being picked apart by roving groups of bandits who would break into the monasteries and basically steal their grain or steal their stores of food, steal their precious valuables, kill whoever they wanted. So the monks decided that they had to protect themselves. They knew there was no government. It was a lawless nation, a lawless land. So they developed various styles of martial arts, including the ability to beat off attackers with rakes, with hoes, with church benches, with pencils, with whatever they had in their hand. They learned to use to kill an attacker. And that's how the various styles of martial arts began. But they began in a religious context. How many different ways do I have to say the same thing? For years, I've been screaming at Jewish groups, what are you teaching your children to be cowards for and to hide? Why don't you teach them martial arts? You have enough Israelis living here who are experts in the Israeli style of martial arts that they teach in the military. Make sure that this is mandatory. In addition to teaching them how to bend over and pray to God, teach them how to stand up and beat off an enemy. It's wonderful to bend over and pray to God, but it's really even better to stand up and punch an enemy in the nose. That's what you should be teaching your Jewish boys. Okay, that's my opinion. Now, maybe you don't agree with me, but that's how I see it. 1-800-449-8255. Do you believe that the ballistics that we are hearing coming out of France are correct? Do you believe this story holds water? I don't, for the reasons I've expressed. And I'll say them to you again. We are not talking about Rick Santorum, the imposter. We're not talking about Mitt Stands for Nothing Romney. We are not talking about Obama, the imposter. We are talking instead about the shooting of children by a gunman in France. We are talking about the lie that's coming out of France about the ballistics. They didn't even say ballistics. About the so-called same gun being used to kill these children this morning at a Jewish school, saying it's the same gun that was used to shoot three French paratroopers in cold blood last week in the streets of France. I am saying that's rubbish for one reason. One, they haven't recovered the gun. So you say, all right, so there's ballistics. Well, let me ask you something. Does it make sense that they would have recovered a bullet from a crime scene within minutes of a shooting and then taken it to a laboratory, and within minutes after that reported to the press saying, presto, same gun, same ballistics. Where is the evidence that they would do that? And if they did that, they've contaminated the crime scene. I mean, even if you watch CSI or any crime show, you know I'm right. So if you even watch a crime show, you know I'm right. So who believes this crap that the press is putting out? I don't. Do you? I don't. Do you? Texas, Rick, what do you make of this mess? You believe a word of it?
Not a word. To begin with, I'm a forensic examiner. I'm a crime scene investigator. It takes hours to get the bullets out of the body. To begin with, the crime scene has to be investigated. It's got to be processed. It's a homicide scene. You have to photograph. You have to take forensic analysis information. You have to completely sweep the area. The bodies have to be removed and taken to a medical examiner. And then the medical examiner has to dissect the bodies in a post-mortem.
Hold on. What if one of the bullets went into a wall at the Jewish school? Well, could they have not taken that out of the wall and tested it immediately?
Yeah, but you still have to take the bullets from the wall, compare them with the bullets that you took out of the French paratroopers under microscopic examination so that the lands and grooves of each individual round that's made, spins out of the barrel, is matched. Each bullet, if it is the same gun, if it's the same handgun, will be the same. Each land.
All right, but here's the question. In a crime scene investigation, is it not true that they have to seal it off with tape and not touch anything or tamper with the evidence? They can't just pull a bullet. What detective would go to a crime scene after a shooting like this where there's such mayhem, dead children, screaming parents, hysteria, police, God knows what? Are they going to permit a detective to go into a wall and pull a bullet out of it?
No. I was one of the officers at the John Wayne Gacy house in 1978.
Oh.
It took us weeks to do the crime scene. Weeks.
That was some mess that you saw. So having said that, you agree with me that this is a lie coming out of the French government?
Well, to begin with, you have to consider the background of what's going on in France. Muslims have literally taken over the country. Number two, this occurred, Lyon is infamous in history from Klaus Barbie, the Gestapo butcher of the children of Lyon. The French government is trying to cover up because they don't have enough information.
All right, so the immediate cover-up story is same gun, right-winger, random shooting. That's what Fox News picked up and ran with, the same as the other media. That's become absolutely worthless as far as I'm concerned, because media is supposed to do a detective's job, not just parrot garbage put out by official agencies.
I also do seminars on radical fundamentalist Islam.
How far behind are we in Muslim takeover of America? No. They're doing pretty good here too, aren't they?
Hamas is already here. They're already funneling money back to the Middle East. Hezbollah and the Islamic Brotherhood are one and the same. They're already funneling money all over the Middle East. People in America have no clue.
No, they have no clue. But tell us about the Fort Hood massacre. Why is Obama refusing to prosecute Major Nidal Hassan? You know the reason, don't you?
He's a Muslim, just like Obama is.
Well, I don't think it's because he's a Muslim. I think it's because Obama would be embarrassed by the results. It would show that the entire chain of command in the U.S. Army was complicit in those murders by looking the other way.
What we believe in the military, okay, is that they long knew about this major's proclivities toward radical fundamentalist Islam.
Well, he was signing his medical reports with Allah Akbar. Every report he was signing for years, and they wouldn't throw him out of the military. Can you imagine if someone signed Jesus Saves on a medical report? Tell me how long he'd last. I'm sending you a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. I'll be right back.
Savage.
We're not going to talk about Tim Tebow or Peyton Manning because I don't even know who they are, but they're at the top of all the websites. So let's look at the CNN website, the website that likes to believe it's the news site. Here's their headline. Four die at French school, attacks linked. Now, it doesn't say that they were Jewish, number one. Doesn't say that they were children. They died, what, of overeating French fries? They died of heart attacks? They passed away from exhaustion? No, they were executed by someone on a motor scooter, but you have to go into the article to read that. So then you go in the article, and it says, high security alert after four killed in shooting at French Jewish school. So you'd think you'd get a little bit more in there, correct? Well, let's read on into the story. One of the guns used Monday was also used in killings of French soldiers of North African origin who were shot and killed on March 11. Now, how do they know that? You say, well, they know it through ballistics. And we're arguing here, because I'm the only one in the media who's caught the French lie, that they could not have done ballistics within a few hours of the massacre for a few reasons. One, because it would have contaminated the crime scene. Two, because of the mayhem that was involved after the shooting's aftermath. Families were weeping in front of police cars around the school. Ambulances and police vans lined the narrow streets of the city. A helicopter circled overhead as police were running through the small crowd of shocked locals to get to the building. You're telling me that they sent a detective who pulled a bullet out of the wall immediately and sent it to some genius in a ballistics laboratory? I'm not buying it. I'm not buying one word of this lie. And I don't believe a word coming out of Sarkozy's twisted mouth. I'm not a fan of Sarkozy. He's another con man like all the leaders in the Western world. There's not a straight-up man running any country in the West, not one. Only the worst rise to the top. So we learn that in the March 11th incident, a soldier was on his motorbike when a helmeted man on another motorcycle shot and killed him. But the soldier was not in uniform, and his motorbike did not have any military ID, we just learned today. Did you hear that? Did you hear what I just said? The soldier, one of them who was killed, was not in uniform. His motorbike did not have any military ID. So why was he killed? What are they trying to make a link out of it? Why is there a link? Where is the link? Where is the link in this? So let's put it together with common sense. Soldiers are killed last week, paratroopers. Someone knew who one of them was, even though he wasn't in uniform. Today, Jewish children are executed, and the media would have you believe that it's a random shooting, not caused by Islamic terrorists in France. The heartbeat of
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Strong, murderous, anti-Semitic motive here. I'm sure that Nicolas Sarkozy, the president of France, and his government will do their utmost to find the killer, and we in Israel will do everything to help them in this task.
Hot sauce. It's got to be hot.
All right, ready?
That's it. You want to ring me up now, or you want to, do I pay when the order comes up?
Later.
All right, but I am going to have to pay, so don't try to get sneaky with me.
Which is, he was talking about hot sauce. Today, he didn't have time to talk about the heartbeat of hell. And we're talking about the execution of these kids and the lies coming out of the French government because the media in America is eating it hook, line, and sinker, saying that the shooting in France was random. I don't believe it's random. Then they tell us the same gun was used in the shooting of the Jewish children this morning that were used last week in the execution of French paratroopers who were shot down in cold blood. Of course, Big Sis Napolitano is certainly up to the job of defending America from such events because we learned that recently a toddler in a wheelchair was patted down at the airport while crying for his father. One of the little Nazis in the TSA uniform said to the father, "Don't you dare touch your child. You can't go near him. We have to dust the child's hands for any remnants of explosives." This is a disabled American child in a wheelchair. So don't you worry. If Hezbollah should use white children in wheelchairs, TSA has it covered. And now let's go to the story itself on the Savage Nation. I'm the only one in the media who's even questioning the statement. I don't believe what I'm reading here. And I feel as though I'm living in a time, a kind of a time warp, to use an antiquated phrase, because as I'm covering a story like this, which has me sick to my stomach, in the sense that I know it can happen here, it is happening here, and it could very well happen again. As I'm covering this, I'm planning my own birthday party, which is coming up in about 10 days. No, it won't be at the Friars Club. No, it won't be televised. No, I'm not selling you an admission. No, you can't watch it at pay-per-view for $4.99 plus an admission ticket to a backstage pass. It's for like 35 friends of mine in a local restaurant that I know. So I'm sending out the Evites, and I'm getting, you know, answers back, and I wrote out, you know, a little thing, a message from the host. I never used Evite until now. I'm living in like a time warp. One, I'm planning a happy event for myself. And the other hand, my guts are wrenched from the killings in France and the cover-up in the media and the disconnect from the Republicans and the Democrats. And I feel the world is on my shoulders, but what else is new? So here's what I wrote in my Evite to my friends. Message from host. Well, I made it to the glorious age where age is not mentioned. My party will be where I am most comfortable and where you will be too. I know the owner for over 30 years. Teddy recommends the hamburger. Hope you will join us. Yes, I love presents, especially old photos of us, if you have any. What should you wear? Clothing would be appreciated. Ties are not required. And then I had to add, please correct your replies. You must know how many in your party because people are sending, you know, answers that are very vague. They say two guests, one guest. I can't even follow it anymore. I'm starting to get tired of it in advance because it's too much complication. But nevertheless, I'm planning my own birthday party, which is very intriguing in one sense because I never do birthday parties like this. Two, I'm covering this horrible shooting at the Jewish school. And three, I'm sitting here in shock at the heartbeat of hell coming out of France. So let me ask you, does it make sense to you that they could have done ballistics on that bullet, excuse me, the bullets this morning so quickly? It doesn't make sense to me because the little I know about crime scene investigations tells me that you would contaminate a crime scene if you permitted detectives or forensics individuals to enter a crime scene, to pull bullets out of a wall before doing a thorough investigation. It doesn't make sense to me. And if they did this so quickly, why would they have done it so quickly? What were they trying to prove? That it was connected to the shooting of the paratroopers? And if so, why would the French be doing that? Something's wrong with the picture, in my opinion. But I invite you to join the dialogue on the Savage Nation because we seem to be the only people in America with the willingness and the desire to even ask these questions. The rest of America is interested in other topics, whether it be a goon with a basketball in his hand or someone stripping on a Jersey Shore. Roger in Florida, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I work in forensics, and just 2 points real quick. Your instincts are very good in this because it would have to be the absolute best-case scenario for them to basically get that ballistic information from that crime scene. What they do with the prior ballistics is it's basically saved as a photo on a computer database, and when they have the new ballistics, they compare the photos and go through the entire database.
No, I understand. No, listen, you're a ballistics expert, so I'm purely an amateur looking in from the outside. So let me ask the question again. The shooting occurs this morning in France. Would the police have gone there so quickly and pulled bullets out of a wall?
No, because even the bullets that are taken out of the wall, what you're going to have happen is those bullets are going to be scarred from...
Thank you. All right, so they would have had to have come from one of the dead children.
Well, and that goes to a point a previous caller made, is that you just do not get, you know, it has to be processed by the morgue, and they have to have an autopsy. And
that is correct. And moreover, these were Orthodox Jewish children, and Jewish law does generally not permit autopsy so quickly. That's number one. They would have had to get permission from the rabbi to even do that autopsy. It doesn't make sense. The whole picture doesn't make sense, Roger. The French are putting out a line of garbage, which the American media and the world media ate up right away. I didn't. I'm the last one in the entire commentary catalog who even understands the first rules of investigation. This stinks from top to bottom, Roger. So it begs this question. Why do the French want us to believe that it was the same individual who killed the paratroopers? What are they trying to say?
They're trying to distract people from, you know, the same situation as Major Hassan, you know, Nadal Hassan.
They right. In other words, because they were quick to tell us that paratroopers were killed, but two were African descent, one was of Middle Eastern descent, and they now said they were minorities who were targeted. Therefore, the shooter must have been a white supremacist. That's what they're trying to imply. Is that correct?
That is correct, because
That is correct. So the same spineless vermin who are running things in the entire West and sending us all to a state of helplessness are in charge in France as well, including the great anti-terrorist leader, Mr. Sarkozy. That's how I see it. So, in other words, we're having to protect ourselves, which leads me to the next set of questions, which I try to ask in the last hour. Do you fear similar shootings are going to occur here in the United States of America at Jewish schools or at other schools? And what are you doing to defend yourself against mass shootings here in America? We certainly know the big sister Napolitano will protect us from three-year-olds in wheelchairs in case any of those are Hezbollah agents disguised as midgets. Roger, I'm sending you trickle-down tyranny. Thank you for calling the show. Ann Arbor, Michigan. Jimmy, you're in ex-law enforcement. Do you think they could have done ballistics so quickly?
No. No, it's impossible. You would have taken the bullets, bagged them, sent them to the lab. They'd have sat around there for a week before anybody got to them. And then they wouldn't have compared them right away. They'd have came up, they'd have took pictures of them and everything, and then they would have said, oh, well, maybe we should compare them. And they start these people should be hired immediately by the FBI. The French CSI, we need to go over there immediately and hire every single one of these people because they're absolute geniuses.
Oh, you mean that they were able to do it so quickly? They're better than our FBI. They're so fast.
Oh, yeah, they're absolutely. Absolutely.
You had me fooled for a minute. I thought you were being serious. But the man in the last call raised another point because at first I said ballistics couldn't be done because you would have to remove them from the dead children, and the parents certainly would not have permitted that to have been done immediately. That's number one. Number two, let's say the bullet came out of a wall, but the bullet in the wall would have, the ballistics would have been mutilated, correct?
Not exactly. It depends on the wall. You know, it depends on how mangled the bullet was. If you can see the rifling under a microscope now, I don't know how to do it. I'm not a friend.
Oh, well, hold on. So, but that takes time, doesn't it? You have to remove the bullet correctly. You have to transport the bullet to a top laboratory. You have to view the bullet correctly. Where do you get all these experts to do this within 3 hours?
Well, you don't, because they're overloaded as it is. They're already looking
right.
at
it. So, in other words, the French wanted to prove it was the same gunman and the same gun, which is why they put out the cover story that it was the same gun and the same gunman that killed the French paratroopers in order to lump it together and say that minorities were killed. Now, suddenly, the Jewish children are no longer Jewish. They're no longer children. They're simply in the generic category called minority. And so now we can all sleep better tonight and pay attention to a goon in a basketball uniform invited to the White House to sing Hallelujah Mary. 1-800-449-8255, Boston Bud. What do you make of this mess, the killing of the Jewish children?
My father was a veteran of World War II, and his last assignment before leaving was repatriating French Jews who had been stuck in the concentration camps, were still alive, and getting them back together. And you know what my father used to say to me? My father always used to say to me, he said, whatever you do, don't ever let anybody tell you this couldn't happen again in any society within 10 years. Keep an eye out. And that's just what I said. I agree with you. This could happen again, and it could happen here. We are too complacent.
Bud, do you have a weapon in your house? Do you have any protection?
Let me put it this way. In this state, it's very difficult to get a permit to carry, but...
you're allowed to have a shotgun in your house, aren't you?
And I do have that.
I'm a person who studied many, many things in my life, and one of the things I've studied for well over four decades is the Holocaust and how it happened from the beginning. And one of the things that I took away from this that shocked me was that the death camps didn't originate at the beginning of the Holocaust. They were the terminus of the Holocaust. Do you know the first law that the Nazis passed? It was a very innocuous law. All they passed was a law which said Jews cannot swim in swimming pools. Only Aryans can. The Jews said, who cares about them anyway? I don't want to swim with them. What do I care? That's how it started. You understand that, Bud, don't you?
Sure do. It's like boiling a frog in water. You turn the heat up slowly, and it happens. And you know.
So why are Jews in America so incredibly ignorant of their own history that they don't even understand the world they're living in? Why?
I don't know. I grew up in a Jewish neighborhood, and a lot of my closest friends are Jews. And I don't understand why they are blind to this.
Well, it started with that little innocuous law. I've also studied another aspect of the Holocaust, which is when they went around in Germany at that point. It wasn't the first place, and they took Jews out of their houses. They did so quietly. I don't know if you know that, Bud. The Germans wanted order, and they didn't want disorder. And they knocked on the door very politely, and they told the Jews to please pack a bag and come with them, and they complied and went with them. I was told when I studied this that if every Jew had a .22, and instead of going quietly, they shot a Gestapo agent in their apartment building, maybe even giving up their own lives, the Holocaust would have been aborted right then and there because the Germans did not want the average German to know about it. And that is why the refrain, every Jew a .22, came about, which is that if the government starts taking you out of your house quietly, don't go quietly into the night. That was what I learned.
It was written by a sociologist.
And we'll let it go. We'll let it go at that, Bud, because I think any more than this is liable to make a little too many people nervous, because after all, it's spring break, you know? They don't want to focus on anything as heavy as this. Okay, Bud, you got a copy of Trickle Down Tyranny, flying off to Boston tomorrow morning. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. If you don't know what we're talking about, go to michaelsavage.com. It's the top two stories. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Well, the scandals keep growing in the scandal-ridden Obama administration. The federal government caught the Mexican gun-running number one guy, found him with many rounds in his car and machine guns, and let him go to Mexico. They won't answer why. A solar company, another corrupt green energy company that kicks back to the Obama top dogs, got a subsidy for selling solar panels to itself, and nobody goes to jail. This is what's going on in the country, and they get away with it. It's astonishing because there's no press, which leads us right back to the killing of the Jewish children this morning at the school in France. The reports are a shock of lies. Alan in New York is going to say something now that will, I think, tend to corroborate my suspicion. Alan, welcome to the Savage Nation from WOR. Tell us what you got in the mail today.
Thank you. Actually, it's an email from Office of Homeland Security from the state. You know, Governor Christie, Edward Dixon is the director. And it says, interesting, I quote, "The initial investigation has found that the firearm was the same caliber that was used in two separate attacks last week."
So what does that mean? I mean, there's millions of same caliber guns. Does that mean it was the same suspect?
Nothing. And then it says like this, "Officials have said that it is too early to draw a linkage between these attacks, and that ballistics tests will help determine whether the same guns were used in all three shootings."
Oh, so you're saying the New Jersey Department of Homeland Security is saying exactly what I'm saying?
Exactly.
But the American press and the world press already said same guns, same gunman.
Right, and the top of the hour on WOR, the guy, I don't know who he is, but he makes the same gun.
The news guy said what?
It's the same gun.
All right, so he made a mistake. He's not the talk show host who syndicated. I am. And okay. I'm supposed to know more than a newsreader on any station. And the day I don't know more than a newsreader, I won't be in business, Alan.
And I'm a principal.
Now, Alan, what you're a school principal, I understand?
Yes. And
Alan, in what kind of school?
It's a Jewish school.
Do you have security outside?
Like in terms of a armed guard or just in terms of the locking doors and stuff?
Armed guard.
No.
See, this is what I'm concerned about. I don't understand what it's going to take until there's blood in the streets of this country, God forbid. What in the world are they thinking? With all of the money that is spent on so many things that are unnecessary, wouldn't you think that armed security would be a priority for your children, Alan?
I'm really listening to you, and I'm thinking about it.
I'm telling you, everyone should wake up. It's only a matter of time until it happens here. That's my guesstimation. I hope to God I'm wrong.
Savage.
The
The shootings happened shortly after 8 this morning, just as parents were dropping their children off at the Jewish secondary school. Reports are still coming in, but what we know is that the gunman had 2 guns, and when one jammed, eyewitnesses said he actually chased children into the school. There are 5 people known to be dead. The first person who was shot apparently was a rabbi who teaches at the school. His 2 young sons, ages 3 and 6, were also killed, and a young lady was also, girl was also killed, thought to be the daughter of the school principal. The gunman jumped on his motorbike, his black motorbike, and sped off after the shootings. So there is speculation about racism here, but Toulouse, it must be said, is known to be a very liberal city. It's the center of France's aerospace industry. It has a socialist government, so it isn't one of these very right-wing places. So it's really causing consternation, as you can imagine, Heather.
Listen to the lame brain lunatic report from the Canadian broadcasting, the CBC. Right away, she says that it couldn't be racism because it's in a socialist city, and that it's not a real right-wing kind of place, so therefore it couldn't be racist. She can't put 2 and 2 together. There are 700,000 Jews in France and 5 million Muslims. The government is afraid of the Muslims, and so therefore it has to be a right-winger who did it. And again, we've already put the kibosh on the fact that there's a linkage between the school shooting with last week's murders of soldiers. We've proven it definitively on this show. We're the first ones to do it, which is why you should listen to this show, because I'm the only one left in America who has the brains and the willingness to even analyze things. The rest, I don't even understand it. They just eat it up and then talk about it. All right, if you want to do that, that's fine. But if you want to apply a little intelligence to the question, as I did, you'll come to the same conclusion I did. And to prove that I was correct, the caller in the last segment said that he's the principal of a Jewish school in New Jersey. And he got a report this morning, excuse me, an email from the Department of Homeland Security in New Jersey, not from Janet Napolitano. Don't confuse the two. She's busy tracking down 3-year-old white boys in wheelchairs. And in this email, he was told that they don't know whether the same gun was used because the tests have not yet been done. And yet the press is eating it up, lock, stock, and barrel. Police in France have made a link between Monday's massacre at a Jewish school in Toulouse with 2 separate deadly attacks. Right away, they made a link. But there is no link. But why would the police in France make the link? Well, you'll figure that out one day, why the police in France would make the link. It's to make sure you never say the I word or the M word. You must always say right-winger did the crime. So I think we've covered this. If you care to talk about it, though, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. You're listening to the one and only Savage Nation. Get it while you can. Get it while you still can. Let's go to michaelsavage.com, which should be up forever in posterity. Notice to the American people. Welcome to the newly created Socialist States of America. Trickle-Down Tyranny, on sale April 3rd, 2012. The one book you need to stop Obama before we lose all of our constitutional rights. Top right. 3 Jewish children and father shot dead in France. Next story, former Israeli spy chief, Jews facing wave of terror worldwide. Then there's a picture of the 3 little babies who were executed by this piece of human trash, this subhuman. The Untermensch who did it should be found. He should be thrown into a prison cell with Jewish murderers in France, and the guard should take the day off. ATF agents released top Fast and Furious suspect. Captured in a remote Arizona outpost on the border, they found rounds and rounds of ammunition, automatic weapons, and they even named the ATF agent who let him go. That is right. Federal agents in the United States stopped the main target of the ill-fated Operation Fast and Furious in May of 2010. After she, the agent, questioned him, he disappeared back in Mexico. Listen to this story. You're not going to believe this. They have the name of the agent. At least they did earlier. Here it is. The top Fast and Furious investigator, special agent, and I say that with a little bit of disdain, Hope McAllister, scribbled her phone number on a $10 bill after the drug dealer pledged to cooperate and keep in touch with investigators, and then she let Salas Acosta disappear into Mexico. Now, so far as you know, Special Agent Hope McAllister has not yet been fired by the federal government or imprisoned for complicity in the Fast and Furious event. As far as we know, she's been promoted inside the ATF for her wonderful detective work. Did you hear this story? Shall I repeat it again? This is your government at work. 7 months after federal agents began the ill-fated Fast and Furious gun-tracking operation, they stumbled upon their main suspect in a remote Arizona outpost on the Mexican border driving an old BMW with 74 rounds of ammo and 9 cell phones hidden inside. Detained for questioning that day in May 2010, Manuel Fabian Salas Acosta described to agents from the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms his close association with a top Mexican drug cartel member, according to documents obtained this weekend by the L.A. Times. The top Fast and Furious investigator, Special Agent Hope McAllister, scribbled her phone number on a $10 bill after he pledged to cooperate and keep in touch with investigators. He then disappeared into Mexico. He then continued slipping back and forth across the border, authorities say, illegally purchasing more U.S. weapons and financing others. He was not arrested until February 2011, a month after Fast and Furious closed down. The agent who let him go, so far as we know, has never been reprimanded, still has a pension, still has a big, big pension, and of course she's still working for the ATF. Well, I'll let you figure out how that happened and why it happened. I'll let you figure that, put two and two together there. Here's another story on MichaelSavage.com. Here's some good news. Obama's high-dollar donations are lagging. He has half as many people writing large checks than 4 years ago. I wonder why. They finally figured out that he wants to take their wealth. It took this long for the idiots to figure out that the man is a communist? When are they going to figure it out, after they have nothing left? Here's another story. Obama's TSA humiliates and searches a three-year-old in a wheelchair. That's correct. Watch the videotape. Why did Barack Obama pass this executive order last Friday afternoon in the document dump? The National Defense Resources Preparedness Act. Nobody knows. What power does it give the tyrant in chief? Why did Barack Obama pass this executive order with no scrutiny by the geniuses in the American media? I'll let you figure that out. On the bottom of MichaelSavage.com, pot and driving deaths are skyrocketing. That's right. The potheads out there are allowed to drive stoned with impunity because they control all of the legislatures in the United States of America. How many years have I been telling you that people who drive stoned are a hazard to your life? Now, they claim that they can't drive because they have pain and they must smoke pot. Even though it's illegal to smoke pot and drive, it doesn't stop them because they're holier than thou. Andrew Madoff condo for rent. If you're interested, it's only $25,000 a month. And finally, on MichaelSavage.com, a sex-addicted ape is now endangered. The bonobo apes live in the Democratic Republic of Congo. So far as I know, they have not been signed up yet for the Democrat Party, but they're working on it. 1-800-449-8255, Fresno Vadi, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind? Vadi, are you there? No. Let's go to the next caller. New York, David, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, good evening, sir. How are you?
Fine.
Now, what I have to tell you is I am one of the Judaic 10 who does listen to you, so let us...
Well, there's about 10 listeners out of 10 million that are Jewish. I know that. The rest are right-wing crackers.
Well, let me tell you something. I volunteered for Vietnam service, probably the only Jew in America who did. And I'm a life
God,
member.
God bless you for that, and you survived it.
Yeah, amazingly. And I'm a life member of the National Rifle Association, probably one of very few Jews, although I have to say that there is one Orthodox synagogue here where I'm at in Staten Island, New York, and there are actually quite a few NRA members there, and they agree with what I have said for years, which is the following, that a Jew without a handgun is a Jew with an invitation to the concentration camp.
Ooh. Well, it seems to me that you have lived through a few things to know reality, so you don't have too many friends, do you, David?
Let me tell you something. My father fought against the communists in World War I, and he escaped, fortunately, with his life. My mother worked in war industry.
Well, wait, where did he fight? In which country?
He was in Russia, and he was fighting against the communists.
Wow! So he was part of the white brigade, so to speak.
Yes, sir, that's correct. And he escaped to Czechoslovakia when the communists succeeded, and eventually came to this country. And my mother, who witnessed her father actually having a noose placed around his neck in Austrian-occupied Poland, and fortunately, that hanging did not occur. She came here and she worked for the war industry, making walkie-talkie crystals during World War II. So I come from a family of patriots, people who understand the tragedies that can befall Jews. I have a photo album with pictures from Europe of members of my family who died in the concentration camps. These were pictures of them when they were very young, and my mother was able to get them and remove them and get them to this country. So
Wait, hold it. No, I'm hearing you, and you're touching me very deeply, but I have a question for you. When you picked up the internet or you turned it on this morning and you saw that Jewish children were gunned down in France, what went through your mind?
That this is going to occur here. This nation is inundated with terrorists. You have anti-Semitic Jewish apologists who are trying to destroy the Second Amendment. These are equivocators. They're relativists. These are the kind of Jews. I've spent a lot of time in Kentucky, and, you know, I have the NRA sticker on my car window, and I've been approached by people, and we get to talking, and they're always curious. You're from New York, and yes, I'm a Jew, but you're an NRA life member. What is the matter with all those other Jews up in New York, this and that? It is such a difficult thing to explain to them, but apologism seems to be rampantly running through the genealogy of Jews in America. You know, you are really correct. There is nobody in the Judaic world who really, truly stands up for us. There are.
When people say, where are the Jewish leaders, can you name a Jewish leader? There are none, are there?
You know what?
Use their religion as a weapon to raise money and live the good life. They are invisible when you need them on anything important.
You know,
that's the point. There is no Jewish leader in this country. There's no Jewish leadership whatsoever. It's invisible. But let's put that aside, David. When you first saw that story, what did you feel?
I said to myself that this is something that is going to become an expectation. It's not something that's going to become an aberration. It is something that will occur here. You know, that the national parks of this country, especially out west, are seething with Mexican drug gangs growing marijuana. They are armed. That was, in fact, was on NBC television last night, so it's not something I'm creating.
No, we know that to be a fact. Yeah, and the government does nothing about it. Instead, the TSA frisks three-year-old white boys in wheelchairs.
That's correct. Let me tell you something. I don't believe in being politically correct. I believe in being intellectually honest. You cannot tell the difference between an Islamic terrorist and an illegal Mexican crossing the border. They look, I would think, rather similar.
Well, we read this years ago that many of the Middle Easterners were shaving their beards and leaving a mustache on in order to camouflage themselves as Mexicans. That was well established 10 years ago.
And nothing is being done about it. What's occurring here is...
Well, there is. The TSA is frisking three-year-old boys in wheelchairs and then dusting their fingers as they cry for explosives. They're definitely going to protect us. But having said that, what are you doing to protect yourself and your family, David? How are you preparing yourself?
I'm armed.
All right, it's as simple as that.
I'm armed. I'm a certified firearms instructor. I'm a life member of the National Rifle Association. I'm a veteran, and as I said, I believe that a Jew without a handgun is a Jew with an invitation to the concentration camp. You know that the Nuremberg...
But do you have many friends who find you to be extremist and they're afraid of you?
They're not afraid of me. They just can't bring themselves to raise themselves to the point that they themselves can take the actions that I've taken. But I have to tell you that's amongst the Jewish acquaintances. Amongst the non-Jewish acquaintances, they seem to have a greater respect and are constantly, though, as they say, curious as to why the majority of Jews are such apologists and so equivocatory about...
I don't know. Ask David Axelrod. Which side would you put him on?
Well, he's obviously... I would almost think that he has to go with the definition that I have presented to you, which is as an anti-Semitic Jew. I mean, he is working with somebody who is certainly no friend of Israel. God forbid this man in the White House gets reelected, the knife is going to go into the back of the Israeli nation.
I think you've said it all, David. Well, I'm going to send you a copy of my book, Trickle Down Tyranny, because I think we're living in the most serious times of my life. That's all I can say. I don't know how else to put it. It's as simple as that. Something's wrong with the whole picture today, and I pretty much know what's going on. When you have 5 million Muslims in France and 600,000 Jews, and you know which way the wind blows, what you do is you immediately link it to somebody other than a Muslim. No matter what they tell you, no matter who they arrest for this crime. You know, it's funny. I wrote a novel called Abuse of Power. Many of you read it. Hundreds of thousands of you read it. And it's 6 weeks on the New York Times list. It's not an obscure novel that I wrote and talk about in a cafe. Now, in Abuse of Power, there's a bombing. The beginning of the book begins with a carjacking, rather. And then there's a bombing and police get killed. And right away, the way I wrote it was the FBI and the police give a press conference where they blame it on a white supremacist cell in Northern California, which, of course, was a canard. They made it up. You think I'm not aware of what's going to happen in France? After all, I have a novelist's mind as well as a practical mind. I know what's coming. They're going to prove definitively, the French, that it was a member of Le Pen who did it in order to sweep it under the rug and tie a bow around it, and tie a ribbon around it, and make sure that there are no longer any disturbances in their country. Things, my friends, have changed in the world. The balance has shifted. The world has changed. We're living in a new world. Suddenly, it's not 1970. Suddenly, it's a brand new world. And through demographics alone, you have lost your nation. It reminds me of the American Indians. Very proud people here for 200,000 years or more. How did they disappear? Well, they had Indian chiefs, didn't they? The Indian chiefs sold the Indians out for booze and for guns and God knows what else. There's nothing new under the sun. I'll be right back.
Savage.
One thing that I think is clear with young people and with adults as well is that we just have to be repetitive about this. It's not enough to simply have a catchy ad on a Monday and then only do it every Monday. We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
That's Attorney General Eric Holder in 1995 when he was then U.S. Attorney in the Washington, D.C. area saying that we must brainwash people about guns. Now the story is emerging. Toulouse Jews mourn victims of Toulouse shooting as hunt for killer continues. Initial reports point to member of neo-Nazi gang. That's the latest report now, is neo-Nazi gang. So we'll have to wait and see how they can prove that. But to me, the handwriting is on the wall, and I agree with the member of parliament in Israel who says that the Jews should leave France. That's right. One of the parliamentarians... I'm going to read it to you. Yaakov Katz says Jews' fate cannot be left in hands of world leaders. You agree or disagree with him? MK Yaakov Katz called Monday for Jews to leave France in the wake of a deadly attack on a Jewish school in Toulouse. There is no Jewish future in France. Katz of the National Union Party said, adding that the state of Israel is the future of the Jewish people and that Jews should not trust their fate to Sarkozy, Obama, or other world leaders. That's a very interesting statement. He says the pogroms have begun. And he says, we will not allow the pogroms of the beginning of the 20th century to return to Europe. Well, they have begun. They have begun. So, you know, I realize that most people are not interested in a story like this. It's enough already, Savage. Why don't you move on? Why don't you talk about Tebow or something like that or something like Mob Wives? You're good at that. Yeah, I could do that, I guess. I don't know, but this is getting me sick. I'm sick all day, but if you want me to talk about Mob Wives, I guess I could do it. They're so charming, aren't they, the Mob Wives in Jersey Shore? They're just such charming human beings that have risen to the top of the heap in our lifetime. Instead of taking the future Jonas Salks of the world and glorifying them, instead of taking the future geniuses of our world and showing them to us, they take the lowest slime of every ethnic group that they could find, the degenerates of Hollywood who pump out the trash into the sewer pipes of our mind, the very vermin of Hollywood who have destroyed the minds of America and the entire world, take the lowest slime that they can find, the lowest common denominator, the wastelings, the drug addicts, the sex maniacs, the pigs in the trough, and they tell you that these are the role models, and you wonder why your children are all screwed up. You don't have to look any further than the Caesars of Hollywood. That's all I can say. The mind, my friend, it's all about the mind. It's what's in the mind. And the geography of the mind in America is filled with pink slime. Let it go with that. Maybe tomorrow will be another day. I'll be in a better mood, and I'll talk about meatballs. Isn't that what you want to hear? How to make a meatball? Ha ha, Mike, make me laugh. Maybe tomorrow, not today.
Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Shootings happened shortly after 8 this morning, just as parents were dropping their children off at the Jewish secondary school. Reports are still coming in, but what we know is that the gunman had two guns, and when one jammed, eyewitnesses said he actually chased children into the school. There are five people known to be dead. The first person who was shot apparently was a rabbi who teaches at the school. His two young sons, ages 3 and 6, were also killed. And a young lady was also, girl was also killed, thought to be the daughter of the school principal. The gunman jumped on his motorbike, his black motorbike, and sped off after the shootings. In my heart, and I might understand you please. So there is speculation about racism here, but Toulouse, it must be said, is known to be a very liberal city. It's the center of France's aerospace industry. It has a socialist government, so it isn't one of these very right-wing places. So it's really causing consternation, as you can imagine.
Well, the slow-motion Holocaust that's occurring around the world is being ignored by the silenterates in the media. It's shocking that San Francisco's ex-newspaper won't even cover the killing in France in which four Jewish children were shot dead outside a Jewish school. It's come to the point where the vermin in the media, in a liberal America, which, you know, San Francisco's ground zero for corruption, liberalism, and cowardliness, they won't even cover the murder of children. They won't even cover the murder of children. So that's the big story today. And the media is covering it up, calling it a random killing, a serial killing.
The shootings happened just as parents were dropping their children off at the Jewish secondary school.
Basically, random attacks carried out by a gunman on a motorcycle who drives up and shoots into a crowd of people.
There have been other shootings in that town, Nick, of a mysterious nature, let us say.
It's too early to tell whether definitively all these shootings are linked.
Killer arrives on a motorbike and then starts shooting randomly. Just started shooting randomly.
Random attacks.
Mysterious nature.
Shooting randomly.
Do you think it's a random shooting of four Jewish children and their father outside a Jewish school? I don't think these were random killings, like the shooting of Jewish children at a Seattle daycare center by a Muslim was random. You think the Fort Hood massacre was random at the hands of the Muslim major Nidal Hassan shouting Allah Akbar? Was that random? You think 9/11 was random? Now, don't think that the shooting of Jewish children in France is something only the French government should be concerned about. The U.S. government has told us that they cannot stop Hezbollah terrorists from crossing the border and entering the United States. But don't worry. Janet Napolitano, Big Sis, can stop and frisk a three-year-old in a wheelchair. Don't worry about it. In case there are any three-year-old white boys in wheelchairs who are carrying a bomb, she'll get them. She has her TSA thugs pat down handicapped children in wheelchairs, and as they're crying asking for their mommy or daddy, the little Nazis with TSA badges are saying, "Don't you dare come near your child." If you haven't seen this yet, go to michaelsavage.com and look at the video clip of a poor little handicapped child in a wheelchair being patted down at the airport by Obama's TSA goons. This is who Obama is targeting, not Muslims in full Muslim garb who get through security because of political fears. You see, it's the handicapped children, elderly white women, and nuns. That's who Big Sis is going to get. It makes me sick to watch the news today. You should be sick, too. Now, there are questions related to this, such as why is the media calling the shooting of Jewish children in a school in France random? Do you believe the shooting is random? Or do you think the kids were targeted because they were Jewish children? Do you fear similar shootings are about to happen in the United States of America? What are you doing to defend yourself against mass terrorist shootings in America? Do you think Big Sis Napolitano is up to the job of defending America from Hezbollah and other terrorist organizations. As we reported, a toddler in a wheelchair was patted down at the airport as a terrorist suspect and his little hands dusted for explosives. What would you have done if you were the father of a disabled kid in a wheelchair under such circumstances? How far will the loss of freedom in America go? Is a slow-motion Holocaust now occurring throughout the world? We're talking about all of these stories today on The Savage Nation, as well as these on michaelsavage.com. Lead story, three Jewish children and father shot dead in France. Former Israeli head of Mossad said Jews are facing a wave of terror worldwide. It's coming to you. If you don't think Obama's a tyrant, take a look at the TSA humiliating and searching a three-year-old in a wheelchair. Sieg Heil. Humiliating and searching a three-year-old in a wheelchair, then dusting a little boy's hands for explosives. All the while, rappers are cursing inside the East Room of the White House under this sterling leadership that we have. ATF agents released the top Fast and Furious suspect from Mexico, even though they found guns and bullets in his car. Any questions on that one? Ask Obama. Oh, by the way, Obama's high-dollar donations are lagging. He has half as many people writing large checks in 4 years before. Why? They know who he is. You may not know it, but I know it, which is why I implore you to click on Amazon.com now and buy Trickle Down Tyranny. Why don't you look at it up on MichaelSavage.com and grab it before it comes out. Send the message to Obama. Al-Qaeda group kills a U.S. teacher for being a Christian. No word from the U.N. Destroy all churches? What's that to Obama? He has nothing to say about it in the Muslim world. He's busy dancing with rappers in the East Room. 5% of Americans use 50% of healthcare costs in the United States. White teenagers slain in the U.K. by Muslims. Cost of living soaring under Obama, which I point out, by the way, in Trickle-Down Tyranny. Clinton-era judge says bums can aggressively bother you in the streets. Panhandling allowed, harassing people in the streets, okay. What else is on MichaelSavage.com? Pot and driving deaths are skyrocketing. Driving while stoned under the guise of medical marijuana. All of the sicko potheads. Sex-addicted ape now endangered. Well, they can get a job in the DHS or HHS. All they're going to do is put a uniform on them, and the bonobos can go to work for Sibelius. They can give out condoms to school children.
Condoms for middle schoolers. It's a new policy that Springfield Public Schools has approved, but it's not going over well with some parents.
Condoms may soon be available for students as young as 12 in Springfield Public Schools. The school committee voted 5-1 in favor of this new policy in an effort to prevent sexually transmitted diseases and pregnancy.
This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Savage.
I can't wait till the train set arrives. The Pennsylvania Berkshire train comes with a powerful 284 Berkshire, and the new Lionel fast freight set pulls an impressive number of cars. A four-bay hopper hauling coal, flat car with generators chained to the deck, a one-of-a-kind Pensy power and light tank car, and a colorful porthole caboose. In addition to a powerful 80-watt transformer, the set includes all the fast track needed to make a deluxe figure eight a layout. I don't know. It seems to me like more fun than buying a new car. More fun than my boat. You know, I don't know what it is. Who knows? Maybe I just want to withdraw into my own imagination. Who knows? You know, I've given up watercolors. I can't do them. I have no talent whatsoever. Sad. I mean, I have the whole set that I got in Florida and I was painting. You know, at a certain point, you got to realize what you can do and what you can't do. And I've known for years what I can't do. I cannot play a musical instrument. I cannot paint. So why must I do it? Why do I have to improve myself, I ask myself? Why can't I just have a couple of drinks and watch television at night? I'm writing two books. I'm doing a daily radio show. I walk a dog. I mean, how much more does a man have to do? I ask myself every day. And yet, we live in a country where every man thinks he has to improve himself until the day he takes his last breath. For what? Who's watching? What am I trying to prove? Who's looking at me? He is looking at you, kid. Anyway, here we are in the Savage Nation. We're talking about very important things and very insignificant things. And so if you care to join the conversation, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Or you can do what I'm going to do right now. I want to go to michaelsavage.com, and I want to see what's up there, because I work on it from the morning. I get up. I actually love getting up. I actually enjoy getting up. The first thing I do, what do I do the first thing I get up? I do push-ups. That's the first thing I do most days. Lately, I haven't been wanting to do them, but I do them most days. I hate it. I hate doing push-ups. I hate them. It's worse than cod liver oil when I was 6. And then I do some barbell work for the arms, because, I mean, there's nothing worse in a man than a soft arm. Well, okay, we'll leave it at that. But you see, there's medication for the other problem. There's no medication to make your biceps hard. You can't take a pill and make your biceps hard, can you? That you have to do the good old-fashioned way with dumbbells. With regard to the other part of your anatomy, you know, you could be lazy and you could still be, right? So I do the dumbbells. The next thing I do is I stumble into the kitchen. Well, I walk into the kitchen. I got to let the dog out into the yard. Then there's another dog I have to let out in the yard, the other maniac. I pray to God he didn't leave me a surprise by the door. The Havanese with Teddy. Oh, what a mess that is. God, housebreaking a dog. Don't get me started. Never again. No more. I love them. They're like people. But at a certain point, I mean, you know, my father knew how to housebreak a dog. I got to tell you, this new age housebreaking doesn't work. You spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars with techniques, and it doesn't work. My father, rest his soul, knew how to housebreak Tippy. He did it in exactly 2 training sessions, and he never studied it. You see, it consisted of rolling up the Daily News, and at the first sign of a dog dumping in your living room, he took the dog's face and rubbed it in it, and smacked him on the butt and screamed at him as loud as he could, and said, "Don't ever do that again." And then rubbed his face in it again and hit him again. That was the housebreaking, and it worked. Now they the therapy and the call PETA, and you're liable to make them into an erotic peer if you yell at it didn't make him into an erotic peer. He never peed in the house again, ever. Never. He never lifted a leg again. Well, he did once on Fat Al's foot, I got to admit. But that was a special occasion. When the 400-pounder sat in the living room, I told you that story. I don't want to get into a childhood story. God, why were men so colorful in those days? Where have they all gone? Why are men so bland with shorts today? Everybody turns to like bland suburban white men with no personality. Everyone's in perfect shape. They're thin. They bicycle. They row. They exercise. They eat right. They have a cereal for breakfast, and they're bland as a toastie without honey cream on it. I don't understand it. Where are all of the wild differences in people that used to exist? And that goes back to the movie I watched over the weekend. I got to drift into the movie again. I got to tell you about it before we forget it, and before we get into the whole train set, Dagon, atomic war is coming, Obama blocks Texas voter ID law, needs illegals to stay in power, clear as a bell to me, before we get into all of that stuff. Honest to God, that movie, it just stuck in my mind. I'm searching for a movie. I hit Turner Classic Movies. Thank God someone collected all of these movies. They're amazing. And they reissued a movie from 62 called Mafioso. I happen to love the genre. So they were saying, there's a guy on TCM who does the introductions who I like. The older guy is backing him out. There's a young guy, Mankiewicz, who must be the son of the old director, Mankiewicz. He's really very good. He has a nice persona. He knows what he's talking about. So this guy Mankiewicz talks about it. He says it was reissued, the movie Mafioso, and it was a movie that they say led to The Godfather that we know in 1970, right? With Brando and Pacino and the James Caan movie. So this is a black and white, low-budget production, and it takes place in Milano to start with. It's a Sicilian man who's a factory manager who is married to a blonde lady, a Nordic, and he has 2 lovely little daughters. And he's going home to Sicily for a 2-week holiday to visit his parents because his wife has... He left Sicily to better his life, which he did. He's a factory manager. And he's going to go home to visit his parents because she never met them. Before he leaves, I'm not going to give away the plot, he's called into the room of the factory boss who says to him, "I want you to deliver a package to... Don so-and-so in the town in which you're going back to." He said, "We both come from the same town in Sicily. I want you to visit Don Pedro, and I want you to give him this package and you got to deliver it to him personally. So you know already there's a plot line that's going to be followed. Now, this movie is if you look it up on IMDb, it's a comedy. They say it's a comedy drama, which is very interesting. It's not a comedy drama. It's a drama, but it's lighthearted because he's a lighthearted character. He's one of the greatest Italian character actors of his time. Now, if you like black and white movies, which I do, I love it. I always loved Ilia Kazan. These scenes, again, in the Sicilian town where he goes home, where the food scenes alone are worth watching this movie. But wait, before I go, before I stop talking about the movie, I don't know why I'm going on and on about it. There's another scene in here. I don't know how to say it to you without giving the plot away. There's about a 7 or 8 minute scene, maybe a 10 minute scene in New York, in Manhattan. Manhattan, circa 1960. The Manhattan I remember. The Manhattan when I was young. The Manhattan that no longer exists. And those scenes of driving down Fifth Avenue in an open Cadillac convertible and some of the seedier hotels and whatnot are astonishing in their documentary quality and the graphic nature of the film and how it evolves, okay? So for those reasons alone, I highly recommend this movie. And I don't even have anything to do with any of the people. They're probably not even around anymore. I just want to talk about what I'm enthusiastic about. You know what the first rule of radio is? Do you know what the first rule of talk radio is? You want to hear it? I learned this when I first started. If the host is enthusiastic about something, the audience will be very interested in it. If the host is not really enthusiastic about it, no one will listen to you. They're not going to take you seriously. And that's why I've been so successful all these years, because when I get into a subject, you can tell when I'm really into it, right? Rarely do I get up here and I'm not connected to what I'm talking about, whether it be about the big old word, whether it be about politics or the dog or cars or whatever, or food. I'm really there because I'm a very passionate individual in the subject matter that I discuss. I would never discuss something I know nothing about, nor would I discuss something I'm not really interested in, because in 2 seconds, you know, I'm telling you a pack of lies. So there it is. If you care to talk about any of these topics, please don't call me at 1-800-449-8255.
I miss you guys. I wish I could stay the weekend, especially this weekend, because we all know there is no better place to be on St. Patrick's Day than in Chicago. Now, you might have noticed that we have some guests in Illinois this week. Apparently, things haven't quite wrapped up on the other side. So there is actually some interest in the primary that we have here on Tuesday. My message to all the candidates is welcome to the land of Lincoln. Because I'm thinking maybe some Lincoln will rub off on them while they are here.
Well, the big Illinois primary is Tuesday, but the Republicans even have a chance come November going up against the corrupt Obama machine and the illegal aliens voting us. Joining us right now on the Savage Nation is Adam Angievsky, former governor candidate and founder of For the Good of Illinois PAC, which is designed to take down corruption in Illinois and across the nation. Adam, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's great to talk to you. It's Angievsky. It's Polish and easy to say, Michael.
So what can we expect from Obama's corruption capital of the United States in tomorrow's election?
Well, it's been interesting. All the major candidates for president of the United States have been finally coming through Illinois. Illinois is finally in play, at least in the Republican primary. And I'm sad to say we're having an influence on the frontrunner, Mitt Romney. John Cass of the Chicago Tribune asked Mitt Romney whether or not he would reappoint U.S. Prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald. And for the second time in 2008 and currently, Romney has hedged on that. And that's a real problem in Illinois because the U.S. prosecutor has been the only one cleaning up this state. He's put the last two governors in jail. And if Mitt Romney has not heard the headlines about Blago, this is a real problem and an ongoing concern. He should face more questions on his candidacy about U.S. Prosecutor Fitzgerald and keeping him in Illinois.
How can the corrupt Obama machine affect this primary?
Well, corruption at the ballot box, especially in Chicago, is rampant. The stories are legendary, and Barack Obama, quite simply, his machine, the Chicago machine that has gone to Washington, D.C., they exert heavy control. Here's an example. One of the most powerful guys and a political godfather to Barack Obama is House Speaker Michael Madigan. And Michael Madigan finally has an opponent, a 25-year-old woman. And she's running a great campaign. Not only have they ripped up her yard signs, but they've slashed her tires four times, and they've actually rammed the passenger side of her vehicle as well. So Barack Obama's political godfather, Michael Madigan, it's been a vicious campaign versus his challenger, and he really hasn't been challenged in the last 42 years.
Illinois is well known for its political corruption and superb presidential candidates. Give us some examples of what's been going on in your state recently.
Right now, my dad and I and a team of about 12 people are going door-to-door with packets of information on a race that is going to the ballot box tomorrow. And the voters have a choice here in Illinois. They can go with a county chairman that's participated in salary-spiking, pension-padding, lucrative contracts, going back to the retiree of the county, and insider sweetheart deals, all paid for and funneled with what we call magic money, campaign cash. So a 71% salary spike for the development director, the number one pension in county history, tens of thousands in lucrative contracts going back to him in retirement, tens of thousands of dollars worth of insider sweetheart deals for his brother's company, and nearly, the papers print, nearly $10,000 worth of campaign cash to fund it all, the magic money of Illinois politics. Here's another example of one of the candidates that left the ballot rather than fight our fierce transparency. The golden boy of the Illinois Republican establishment was a county board member, and we proved that through a series of corporations and LLCs that he was the number one contributor to the Democratic incumbent state senator that we were all running against. And once we exposed this, he dropped out of politics, not only out of the race, he dropped off the county board, and he dropped out of politics altogether. And good riddance, this is the transparency that citizens across the country need to bring to clean up their local races.
Is there any hope that the corruption in your state can be stopped, or is it too late thanks to the Obama machine?
Well, there is hope, and there is help, and that's for the good of Illinois PAC. We've had an extraordinary primary season, Michael, where step by step we're making a stronger, more principled Republican Party. Three Republicans in this cycle dropped out rather than face our fierce transparency. They're fleeing rather than fighting when we expose their records and their governance. Here's a case. We were up against the second lieutenant of the Illinois Republican House, and we recruited a Republican County Board Chairman to run against him. This was a tax hiking, big spending, double dipping, and we proved ethics-violating Republican leader. His double dipping amounted to over $300,000 a year at taxpayer expense. And all of that was good enough to bring all institutional force from the Republican leadership in this state endorsing and backing this downstate state rep. The Wall Street Journal 18 months ago called this state rep, Roger Eddy, the face of Republican failure. But this is how we got him off the ballot. He signed the notarized letter of exiting the race, so he's not even going to compete tomorrow. We alleged that he had a legalized money laundering scheme going on between his school board superintendent position and his campaign cronies that were fleecing taxpayers, and that's why he left the race.
Adam, where can we find out more about what you're doing to straighten out Illinois?
Our website is For the Good of Illinois PAC. We bring the heat so they see the light, and that is former downstate United States Senator Everett Dirksen that said that. We practice it every day to clean up Illinois politics. And I submit to you, you cannot clean up Illinois until you clean up the Illinois Republican Party. And step by step, we're doing just that.
And thank you for joining us today on The Savage Nation.
Great to be on the program, Michael. I know that you're committed to the first principle of cleaning up corruption. For the good of Illinois, PAC.com is where your listening audience can go for more details on what we're going to talk today about. The examples are striking, and we're cleaning up the Illinois Republican Party, making it more principled and a stronger party in Illinois.
One thing that I think is clear with young people and with adults as well is that we just have to be repetitive about this. It's not enough to simply have a catchy ad on a Monday and then only do it every Monday. We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
You know how much that irritates me? Well, just think how your throat would feel this spring without Pine Brothers Softish Throat Drops. Remember Pine Brothers? Those soft, delicious throat drops we all grew up with the ones your parents bought to soothe you when you had a sore throat, that you couldn't stop eating after your throat got better. Well, they're back in natural honey and wild cherry flavors, and they're just as wonderful and effective as you can remember. Visit them on the web at pinebrothers.com. That's pinebrothers.com. I'm Michael Savage. We'll be right back.
Savage.
Now, you might have noticed that we have some guests in Illinois this week. Apparently, things haven't quite wrapped up on the other side. So there is actually some interest in the primary that we have here on Tuesday. My message to all the candidates is welcome to the land of Lincoln. Because I'm thinking maybe some Lincoln will rub off on them while they are here.
Stop it. You can't play that song on this show. Gloria Allred's liable to sue the rock and rollers who sang Little Girl of Mine. I mean, that is demeaning to a woman. I mean, to call a woman Little Girl of Mine in a song, that's unheard of. How dare you? I think she should find that she should disinter the owner of that record company. And if any of those men who sang that despicable song, Little Girl of Mine, are living in a nursing home, seek them out. Break them over your knee. We can't have Little Girl of Mine in this country. That is demeaning. You get some strange callers in this business, I got to tell you. I don't know what's coming next. I just don't know. You don't know who's going to call next, but you're invited to be that who at 1-800-449-8255. It's the one and only Savage Nation, surviving the turbulence of the times, riding the white water with all of you. Oh, this is really rough. This is white water. This is the white water of radio. These are the white water days of talk radio that I'm in. We're going down the canyon as fast as possible. And so far, the canoe is holding its own. I don't know who's going to call next or what's going to come up. The guy called me earlier and talked about slime in the meat. He said he doesn't care. He likes slime in the meat. It's unbelievable. I don't know who's going to call next. It could be a caller from the deepest reaches of Connecticut or Vermont. My cracky Doc Savage, you're a heck of a guy. Doc Savage, I have a question for you. You're such a brilliant guy. What kind of tooth powder should I be using now? See, back in 41, I was using that Colgate. It was made from a bitumate, a certain bisulfite product. But, well, during the war, they seized it all up for that gunpowder. Well, then after the war, after Elmer's remains came home, we shifted over to a chlorine-based tooth powder. And I got to tell you, I noticed a change in my rabbits right away. I saw them rabbits change their behavior. Doc Savage, I want to know if it was that chlorine-based tooth powder. Oh, God. You know, laughter is the best medicine for our linguistic and cultural divide here in America. Laughter is the best medicine for America's linguistic and cultural divide. I apologize if I did not speak in the aphorisms that you used to, but this is the best I can do given the situation that we're living in now. Oh, yeah. Who knows? Who's going to call next? I don't know. It's an interesting topic. Look what I found for you. See, now you're going to get a shocker. You're going to get a treat now. If you're a regular listener, let's say you're listening on and off and you never missed a show in 16 years, and I mean every hour and every minute and every day, even when you were incarcerated for DUI, you somehow had an earphone. Right? I've been going through my archives because I told you I'm writing a book about my childhood stories and I'm looking for stories and this. I was back in 1965, I was the assistant editor of a little literary magazine called Exit, Urbi et Orbi. Now, I found these magazines, they're worth a fortune because these are the original magazines. There were only four of them. I remember we got a big write-up in the New Yorker or the New York Times as one of the best little magazines of its time. And I was thrilled. I was working with some brilliant young guys in New York. They were really wonderful people. I don't even know where they went. You know, I never kept in touch with them. But I wrote an article in 1965 entitled Who Is at the Helm? And I'm going to read it to you in part now. You ready for this? Because if this doesn't apply to what's going on in the country today, I don't know what does. Who Is at the Helm by Michael. Here it is. It's a short essay. You want me to read it? Yes or no? Raise your hands in the audience. It's 2 pages long. The next article is Malcolm X. His interview over New York station WBAI-FM with Harry Ring was broadcast January 28, 1965, less than a month before his death. See, you don't realize how diverse my background really is. You could easily typecast people, and you're going to lose an awful lot with your prejudging. That's called prejudice. See, the word prejudice means prejudge. So if you're prejudging me, you're losing an awful lot. So let me read Who Was at the Helm from 1965, and here it goes. Recently it was brought to my attention that Bertrand Russell and a large body of intellectuals delivered a signed article to the British press which said that mankind must immediately undertake to find new sources for its food supply. The group insisted that, should we not immediately act upon this call, we shall find ourselves a species without nourishment. An immediate action was undertaken by the officials in charge. The article was suppressed and appeared in but 2 British newspapers. The situation related above is indicative of a major problem of mankind. We as a species have not yet insisted that our leaders be men of mind and vision, brains. Imagine then that we, you and I, are cells in a great creature, that is to say, one being, mankind, a being that has the basic problems of procuring food and shelter, in addition to the natural obstacles that are common to all living organisms. Then I would like to compare the activities of the mankind creature to those of a simple sea creature and see how each faces the basic problems of living. Perhaps then we, the quote, advanced creature, will be able to see why we have not yet established the sane order of survival for our species. And I went on to compare us to the hydra, a certain type of jellyfish. It's a tiny sea creature with a half-inch body that is excellent for studying because you can observe its activities on a cellular level. And I said, when faced with an enemy, the hydra calls upon cells that are specially equipped for its protection. These cells, the nematoblasts, enclose stinging capsules that have a barbed process of cytoplasm shaped much like a spear. Thus, the problem of defense is met without confusion as to which group of cells is to react. The nematoblasts, which are obviously evolved for the job of defense, are signaled by the creature's nerve network and they act. No helter-skeltering of indecision, just decisive action. You see where I'm going with this article? And it wasn't to discuss the merits of our military system that I did this. It was to show you that there was a certain order within a cell, a simple creature like the hydra, defense cells, etc., inside the simple organism. And then I was talking about we as mankind. And I concluded by saying, just as the hydra survives because its functions are well directed by a nerve network, so must the survival of mankind be directed by a network of minds. Those men who have mastered the powers of the intellect should be duty-bound to serve as brain tissue for the creature called mankind. You see what I'm getting at here? So what am I saying to you? Do you actually believe that conniving, devious, deceitful politicians should serve as our brain tissue? Do you think that the meanest, most devious minds of our generation are equipped to preserve us as a species on this planet? Do you think that men who might have evolved to be butchers, but instead are politicians, are the best to save this planet and save the people? What am I seeking? I'm seeking peace and harmony. What do you think I really want in the world? If you actually analyze what you do every day, what you really want is peace and harmony. You want to be left alone to lead your own life the way you best want to lead it, right? Do you want thought control? Do you want big sis monitoring you? Do you want surveillance cameras on every corner under the guise of anti-terrorism? Do you want degenerates to strip search you in an airport and tell you they're doing it for your safety? No, you don't want any of that. But we're impotent. We're impotent because our mental adolescence, the mental adolescence of our time, have taken over our life. And frankly, they're self-destructive. And it's all based upon their egotism and their power madness. And I said, I'm going to conclude now. You ready for the conclusion? I wrote this one a long time ago when I was a very, very young guy. Immediately and without delay, instead of adolescent war games, we would undertake those problems which are most basic to our needs as a species. If we continue to be directed without the benefit of our most advanced minds, continuing to follow unreasoning instinct, we will ultimately wipe ourselves from this planet, wrote Michael in the year 1965 in his essay called Who Was at the Helm. So if you can, if you listen to what I just said to you, I just dug this up out of the archives. It's hard to believe. I've really been very political for my entire writing career and my entire broadcasting career. In other words, long before I was political in a broadcast sphere, I was political in a written sphere, and I didn't even know it. All of my health books, all of my books on nutrition, herbal medicine, homeopathy, etc., are very political, because what I was trying to do was make the awaken the American people to a healthier way of living. Healthier foods, healthier diet, vitamins, minerals, nutrients, herbs. I was 30 years ahead of my time. And it's interesting to me that the, quote, liberals of today, the progressives of today, are the most anti-health food, anti-vitamin segment of our society. Isn't it odd that conservatives seem to love those who raise organic food? The conservatives love pure foods and pure drugs. The conservatives love the vitamin industry, and it's the arch progressives, and I'll name them, Waxman, for example, Nostrilman from Southern California, who is the most anti-vitamin congressman in American history. He hates the vitamin industry, doesn't want you to have control over your own health and your own body, works like a street corner hustler for the pharmaceutical industry, in my opinion, trying to legislate vitamins out of your control so that you won't even be able to buy a vitamin tablet. You'll have to get it through a drugstore and through a pharmaceutical company. Isn't it interesting that it's the, quote, liberals or the progressives who are trying to crush your freedoms at every turn? When are you going to wake up to the fact that those at the helm are not the best leaders, that those at the helm are better butchers than they are brain cells?
Savage.